I want to thank Gail for playing All or Nothing for our offertory. I never saw the musical Oklahoma on the stage, but I did see the movie. And even as a child, while the song was fun, the concept seemed dumb. All or nothing? It made no sense, though I did like the woman's sung reply, "All for you and nothing for me." All or Nothing establishes absolute winners and absolute losers. Dumb. Most of you are aware that I'm an inside agitator against the all or nothing culture that surrounds us. All or nothing is yet another example, as if we needed one, of the zero-sum world. For me to win, you must lose. For you to win, I must lose. All or nothing. I believe the zero-sum world is toxic, a cancer, eating away at the quality of our lives, every day of our lives. The time has come to cut the cancer out, cut it out before it destroys us all. That sounds a bit violent, doesn't it? Okay, it's not the happiest of expressions, particularly from someone who believes and truly believes in nonviolence. So let's put the scalpel away and say that what the world needs is some aggressive chemotherapy. I know, I've talked about this before, and I'll undoubtedly come back to it. A few years ago, we talked about what I called the Masala Complex. A quick review. In the story of Ben-Hur, Judah Ben-Hur and Masala have been boyhood friends. But as young men, they meet after several years apart. Masala, now a freshly minted Roman tribune, and Ben-Hur, a Jewish subject of Imperial Rome. Masala demands his friend inform on other Jews, telling him to choose. You are either for me or you're against me. How completely and pointlessly that kind of absolutism divides us, and yet it is everywhere. A few weeks ago, we talked about living an interfaith life. One of the great catastrophes of our spiritual world is the embrace of the zero-sum world. There is only one right answer. Every other answer must be wrong. Zealots from every one of our spiritual paths have, at one time or another, succumbed to the Masala Complex. You're either 100% for me, or you're against me. Interfaith as a faith is in no small part a firm pushback on the zero-sum world. To live an interfaith life is to leave the Masala Complex in the dustbin. So you may be thinking, what on earth has this got to do with today's discussion? Columbus Day, whose country is this? Unfortunately, it has everything to do with it. Whenever I think of Columbus Day, I can't help but think of one of my favorite recordings. Stan Freberg modestly presents the United States of America, Part 1, The Early Years. The entire album is great satire and very funny. I recommend it. According to Freberg, when Columbus lands in the New World and comes across some natives, he tells them that he wants to take a few home with him to prove he discovered them. The reply is, "You discovered us? We discovered you. We discover you on beach here. It's all how you look at it." It is indeed all how you look at it. Perspective. Perspective. You may be aware that the Seattle City Council has moved this coming Monday's holiday from a Columbus Day celebration to an Indigenous Peoples Day celebration. In all honesty, I like the idea. Celebrating the lives and history of the people who were already very happily living in the Americas without the imprint of European colonialism is something I believe long overdue. And what better day to celebrate these profound cultures than the day that also celebrates Europe's discovery of what it called the New World? Never fear, we'll get back to Leif Erikson later. But what I want to discuss here is not the need for an Indigenous Peoples Day, but what those who favored the day felt it necessary to do. It speaks to our zero-sum fixation. You're for us or you're against us, all or nothing. In order to celebrate those who lived here before Columbus, we have to tear down Columbus, destroy his name, and vilify anyone who still wants to celebrate Columbus Day. This is the zero-sum world in all of its mindless fury. And I believe it is toxic to our spiritual health. Wait a minute. Am I saying that celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day is toxic? No, I'm not. As I've said before, I not only support it, but I believe it is long overdue. What is toxic is the belief that in order to have Indigenous Peoples Day, we must tear down and vilify anything and everything having to do with Columbus. I believe that making Columbus the poster child of colonialism is wrong. He thought he was going to reach India. His goal was trade, not conquest. Remember? That's why the indigenous peoples of the Americas were called Indians. Yes, Columbus was a man of his times. Yes, some of the later acts he committed I would not under any circumstance want to celebrate. Granting that Leif Erikson and the Vikings were indeed the first Europeans to visit the Americas, it was Columbus landing in the Americas and not, hold on to your hat, India, that was indeed a major turning of the page in European history, American history, and indeed world history. Not every page turn is a happy one. This particular page turning, this discovery of the Americas by Europe, had some great aspects to it, as well as horrific ones. I agree strongly with our first peoples that for much too long, all we have celebrated is what Europe gained from this page turning. For much too long, we have ignored the often tragic and much too often horrific impact, both on the cultures and the peoples who were living here long before Columbus sailed in 1492. Indigenous Peoples Day is long overdue. But in this toxic zero-sum culture, it has meant that Columbus must therefore be obliterated. That is what I disagree with, and for two rather different, though related, reasons. First, for our friends of Italian ancestry, Columbus Day has become their day to celebrate their heritage. Look at St. Patrick's Day, really. How many of us are venerating, celebrating, or to be truthful, even thinking of St. Patrick on that day? It is rather a day for those of Irish ancestry to celebrate their heritage. And for all of us to be, well, Irish for a day. Many of Italian ancestry? see Columbus Day as a similar day for them as an interfaither and as, I hope, a man of compassion, I would ask us to step away from the zero-sum world. I would ask us to think of our brothers and sisters of Italian ancestry. So, what side am I on? That very question is what I would ask us to rebel against. It is but a small example of what is repeated over and over again, writ large. I know it is something that my friends who attempt to deal with Israeli-Palestinian issues are constantly faced with. It's a zero-sum world. What side are you on? We find it so much easier to pick sides and then turn a blind eye to those that we have now made other. This is my second reason for wanting to address Columbus Day this morning. The controversy over replacing Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day is real. Real people's feelings are involved. The potential for hurt is there. But it isn't Israel-Palestine. If we hope to make progress anywhere, why not at least try to start here? What I'd like to see is a Columbus Indigenous Peoples Day. I don't want to see them in competition with each other. I don't believe in the Masala complex. I reject the zero-sum world. I don't think we have to forget Columbus Voyage to remember and celebrate the many and important peoples in the Americas who were impacted by that voyage and what followed it. I don't think we have to make Columbus a villain to remember that colonialism is first cousin to imperialism and that Europe systematically raped the New World for its wealth and decimated the indigenous peoples as it claimed the land for various European countries. I propose that we listen to the very real concerns of our first peoples, brothers and sisters, whose ancestry, customs, and value have long been overlooked by the Europeans who claimed the New World for themselves. I propose also that we listen to the concerns of those of Italian ancestry who want to hold on to a piece of their own tradition. I propose rejecting the zero-sum world. I propose rejecting it in its largest manifestations, as well as in its everyday intrusions into our lives. Interfaith, as a faith, involves hearing each other, respecting each other. One of the difficulties I have with some who say they practice interfaith is their attempt to ignore our differences and our individual stories and lump all our spiritual paths and traditions into a single melting pot or a giant ninja blender. We are, all of us, different, with not only differing spiritual paths, but differing histories. Those differences need to be respected and listened to. If we are ever to love one another, we need to listen to one another. That is what I ask of myself and of all who would follow the path of interfaith. There is no listening in a zero-sum world. In that world, you're either for me or against me. For me to win, you have to lose. Do we really want to live in that world? Is that the world we wish to bequeath our children? I hope not. This is why the controversy over Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day, is so important to me. When will we learn to listen? When will we take all or nothing to the door and politely but firmly wave goodbye? And as my old buddy Hillel would say, if not now, when? When? Amen.